For years, the United Nations has hung the title World Heritage Site on what it deems to be important man-made and natural landmarks. Now, for the first time, UNESCO is recognizing unique intangibles in various places around the world, such as language, music, and dance. Among this year's designees, the Garifuna culture, found along the tropical coasts of Nicaragua, Honduras, and Belize. NPR's Jerry Haddon reports from Belize.
Inside a remote jungle temple near the Belizean border with Guatemala, a Garifuna priestess is channeling the spirits of village ancestors. They're being called on to help a gravely ill woman. Soon, a 9-day healing ceremony will begin in the tiny village of Barranco. It's called a Dugu, and it is central to the Garifuna culture. The Garifuna believe sickness can be caused by offending dead relatives. The young priestess, dressed all in white, named Adriana, says through the Dugu, the spirits possess a living body and speak to the sick about their present and future.
Telling them what causes their illness, or maybe something good gonna happen. If the Garifuna people stop attention to the spirits, and that would be the end, and they will do some harms to them, hurt you, kill you.
Like the 250,000 Garifuna up and down the Caribbean Central American coast, the 4 dozen families of Barranco revere their dead. Racially, the Garifuna are a unique mix of Africans and South American Indians who mingled in the Caribbean during the colonial period as runaway slaves joined with indigenous groups to fight English colonizers. Roy Cayetano is president of Belize's National Garifuna Council. He says when his people fled to modern-day Honduras, Guatemala, and Belize, they established a communal philosophy that allowed them to survive decades of hardship.
If I have food, you have food. If I have a house, you have shelter, you know. You cannot be fully a stranger in a Garifuna community. You come, you are somehow absorbed.
The Garifuna came to Central America as free men in an era of slavery. Nearby English settlers feared the newcomers would incite rebellion among their African charges. The Garifuna were isolated and labeled as savage cannibals. Since then, they have remained marginalized but independent, scraping by on subsistence farming and fishing. In Belize, because of the dominant cultures around them, most Garifuna speak Spanish, English, and the local Creole. Their native tongue is a mix of mostly Arawak Indian with a smattering of words from several European languages. As pop culture, especially from the U.S., grows in influence, many young Garifuna are rejecting the mother tongue. Garifuna elders like Roy Cayetano are alarmed.
The ancestral spirits express themselves through us. Will our ancestors be now forced to speak to us in Creole or English or Spanish? You know, I mean, you know, it's unthinkable. You know?
As an example, Cayetano shares just some of the nuanced Garifuna words for God.
There is the word Ogieti, which means the one that is above all. And there is Sunti Gabafu, which can be translated to Almighty. There is the word Faradiu. There is the word Bungiu.
The Garifuna are petitioning the government to appoint a special educator to start Garifuna language classes in public schools for the first time. The threat to the Garifuna culture and its uniqueness are what attracted the attention of UNESCO, which began naming intangible masterpieces of humanity this year. Other designees include the cultural rites of Uzbekistan and Sicilian puppet theater. Penny Topalian directs UNESCO's operations in Belize. She says though designation does not come with money, it does bring a measure of prestige.
I don't know if it's going to suddenly improve their quality of life or suddenly all of them are going to get a better education or whatever. But even to be recognized by the world that, yes, we have something that is very special, maybe other things will come eventually from this recognition.
Most do seem honored by the designation, though some find it ironic that the very countries who forced them into exile 2 centuries ago are now trying to save their culture. Today, the Garifuna's numbers are dwindling. Their subsistence lifestyle and the encroaching modern world have driven thousands of mostly young Garifuna to the United States and elsewhere in search of wage labor. The village of Barranco has only 1/5 of its original population. Most residents are either elderly or children. But one young man has returned, and he hopes others will follow. 31-year-old Ellis Nicholas paddles a small wooden dugout across the calm bay of Honduras. Nicholas spent years in the New York area. His brothers and sisters are all professionals there, but he always dreamed of being a farmer and fisherman. In the U.S., he fell into trouble with drugs, and after being shot several times, Nicholas finally decided to cut out for his childhood village.
I'm almost sure if I stay here in Barranco, I'll live to be an old man and I'll die. But the part of the States that I was at, man, I'm telling you, man, there wasn't any telling if I lived to see tomorrow.
Nicholas says his first day fishing, he hooked his own arm and ended up at a regional health clinic. But slowly, he's learned self-reliance and to appreciate a slower, less materialistic way of life.
I feel this is the freest I've ever been. When I die, I don't want to go to heaven. I want to come to Barranco.
The line between heaven and earth is a blurry one for the Garifuna. On a recent night, village drummers practice for the upcoming Dugu healing ceremony, still some days away. The men sit around on plastic chairs under a brilliant full moon, playing their fast-moving music called punta. A few couples dance. The drumming reaches a fever pitch as a bottle of cheap brandy makes the rounds. As UNESCO moves to honor the Garifuna and other cultures, villagers here in Barranco are more concerned with honoring their ancestors. Jerry Haddon, NPR News, Barranco, Belize.